Okay, thank you. I thought that since right smack in front of us in this parsha is a very significant question on the whole inyan of bitochen, that it would be appropriate for us to discuss it a little bit. I guess under the title of if Yaakov Avinu was afraid, how could we be confident? When Yaakov was confronted with Esav, and it says, Vayiro Yaakov, Vayetzer Loi, he was afraid. Maybe some learned he had tsar that he was afraid. Rashi has a different pshat there, but he was afraid. Then later Rashi says clearly, if I can see it, I don't have my other glasses. Rashi says clearly, "Kotoyti mikola chasodim mikola emes." Yaakov was afraid. He says, "I'm afraid." He says, "Maybe I used up all my schusim already." Nismatus choyosai al yedei hachasodim v'ho emes shosisu imi. I'm afraid that maybe I used up all my schusim for the chesed and the emes, the chasodim Hashem did, and the honest, the paying him of what he earned and the schusovis and everything that he had. And lekach ani yore. Therefore, I'm afraid. Shemo. Shemo mishi hiftachtani nislachlachti b'cheit. Maybe since you promised me, after the Hashem promised him, ushmarticha v'chol asher telech. He says, I'll protect you when you go back. Don't have to worry about Esau. Maybe from that time I sinned. V'yigrem li limoser biad Esau. And this will cause me to be turned over to Esau. In other words, he was afraid. He says, I'm afraid I lost my schusim. I used up all my schusim because you did so much chasodim and so much emes beyond, he's saying, maybe it was beyond what I deserved. You gave me so much chesed. And, he said even, I came with the shirt on my back, with the stick in my hand, and now look what I have. So he says, maybe I used up my schusim. And therefore, even though I have a havtocha, Hashem promised. He promised him, Ushmartich v'ochal shor telech. But maybe I sinned, and I'm no longer worthy of that havtocha, and I'll fall into the hands of Esav. So this is bichlal very strange. First of all, what is he saying? He used up his chusim, and then he's afraid of the sin. It seems he's afraid of this. He's not afraid of the sin alone. It's only if he used up his chusim, then he's afraid that maybe the havtocha could be broken. I assume what that means is that if he didn't deserve the haftocha, if he sinned and he didn't deserve sacha koil, he fell to such a situation where this haftocha was no longer possible to deliver for him, then maybe he could lose it. However, the sin alone wouldn't have done that because he has schusim. So the schusim would kick in and compensate.
I'm sorry, where's the schusim?
What? No, all the schusim.
What was the sin?
What? No, he's afraid. He says he's afraid maybe. He's afraid maybe I sin. He was away from his father for a long time, for 22 years. Maybe Esav has more schusim. Maybe I was mezalzel in the kibbutz. I don't know. It doesn't say clearly what it was. But he was afraid. We never know. With the lashon that the Rishonim uses, Shema Gora Machet. Maybe I sinned in such a way that it would interfere with my achieving that which I want to achieve. But here, he has a haftocha. So he really shouldn't be afraid. It was promised. The only thing is, if he no longer deserves that promise, that might jeopardize the promise. Now, it seems sin alone wouldn't jeopardize the promise because maybe I have schusim which can compensate. I'm not worthy 100%, but if you count up all the schusovis and everything I did in my whole life, and so then I might be worthy. But he says, I'm afraid I got paid for all my schusim, kotoyti mikol hachasodim. I no longer have anything in my reserve account because you paid me back beyond what I earned. And if I sinned, I could have lost the haftocha. The question here is as follows. Where was Yaakov Avinu's bitochon? And not only that, it's much worse because he had a haftocha. We've been preaching here and learning here and advocating here and analyzing texts and ideas and this about bitochon without any haftochos. We don't have haftochos. When we have a situation in life, we don't have a haftocha that it's going to go a certain way. There's no problem. It could be that parnosa, there is a haftocha. Because it says, Peseches yodechu masbi'a l'chol chai rotzim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens his hand and he satiates every living creature according to his will. And some learn his will with a capital H and some learn his will with a small H, you know, whether it's the person's will or according to Hashem's will. Either way, it's a good deal. But Pashtus, there's no haftocha and everything else. In Shiduchim, we don't have tochas. In health, we don't have tochas. In all kinds of things, we don't have tochas. You know, so here, and we're advocating, have bitochen, bitochen, bitochen. Yaakov Avinu had a haftocha. And yet the fear of Shema Goram Hachet, he was afraid that he would lose the haftocha. What should we say about bitochen with Shema Goram Hachet? I'm trusting Hashem's chesed. Avada Hashem is full of chesed. But you know something? Maybe you don't deserve it. Maybe you don't have enough schusim from the past to get it, and maybe you don't, and you did averus which won't entice, which interfere with you getting it. So if Yaakov Avinu was afraid of Hashem Goram Achet and a loss of his schusim by a haftocha from Hashem, Allah has kama v'kama. We have to be afraid of Hashem Goram Achet when we don't even have haftocha in most of life situations. So that's the question. So the shaila is like this: the Maisa, some learn the following, that Yaakov Avinu's fear was a forced fear. There's a Mari Kroh, seems he was one of the Rishonim, and he says like this. He says, he starts with the following. He says, what's a Balstoka? He says, a Balstoka is not a person that money means nothing to him. That's not a Balstoka. Money doesn't mean anything to him. A Balstoka is one who loves his money. He's in love with his money. And still he gives it away. Because he cares about it and he gives it away. That's a Balstoka. He says, what's a Balbitochen? Then he continues, uses that as a moshel. What's a Balbitochen? He says, a person who's impervious to the danger, doesn't know there's a danger, that's not a Balbitochen. He doesn't know there's a problem. He doesn't have Bitochen. The Balbitochen is the one who is fully focused on the danger. He's worried, he's concerned. There's a real pacha there. There's a real concern. And still he rises to trust Hashem and not to worry about it. That's the Baal Bitochen. We mentioned many times, I'm sure, at least once that I can remember, the Brisker Rav's moshel of a person walking along and someone behind him with a gun. So if he knows that the guy is ready to shoot him and he still has Bitochen, that's a Baal Bitochen. If he doesn't know that the guy has a gun, then that's not a Baal Bitochen. There's no danger. That's not Bitochen when I have no danger. Bitochen is the trust in Hashem that despite the danger and the difficulty and the challenge of the moment, I am putting my trust in Hashem and I'm relying on Him to take care of me. But if you don't know, you got a problem, so you're not really relying. So they say that Yaakov Avinu forced himself to have to be afraid of Esav in order to achieve true Bitochen. And it sounds like what he means is that Yaakov Avinu was concerned. Okay, Esav is coming. And he could have reached, I mean, this is the way I'm explaining it. It doesn't spell it all out. He could have reached a certain measure of bitochen by working on his bitochen. Hashem is full of chesed and rachamim, and he take care of my family and this. And Yaakov actually used some other indicators too, because there's a loshen in Chazal, I think we may have mentioned this, that... And I know we mentioned a lot of things over the months, but I think even more recently, I'm not sure. But Yaakov Avinu said to Hashem, he said that I have my four wives and my 11 children. You said in your Torah, you're not allowed to shech the mother with her offspring on the same day. He says, you said such a thing in your Torah. That's your value system. You can't allow Esav to take my wives and my children the same day. Well, yeah, we mentioned that. That's what I thought. Okay. So in other words, so Yaakov had many things that could help him to have bitochen. But he was afraid that the bitochen wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be real because he's not acutely traumatized by the level of fear that he has of Esav.
So why did he make a condition?
What? No. Hashem made that. No, what do you mean? No. Hashem made a promise.
Yaakov, Hashem made the promise. Yaakov reiterated it
Okay, that I don't know. That I don't know. He's just, I don't know. That's good. I don't know. I don't know. He repeated it. He's that way. He was strengthening himself. He was strengthening himself. But then, listen, it's a bitochen is a battle. Haloich v'chazor. It goes on all sides. So on the one hand, he was strengthening himself. On the other hand, he says like this, I can reach a certain level of bitochen. You're right. But I'm not sure that's enough. I want to reach higher. I want to get closer to Hashem. I want to have a bigger schus. However his thinking may have been, whether it was sort of a schus of connection to Hashem, whether it was push it to be assured that he'll be saved from Esav. So he said, I got to do something. I need a little more bitochen. So what did he do? He focused. Maybe he counted to 400. One soldier, two soldiers, three soldiers, four soldiers. You know, maybe he thought, Esav, 22 years I was away from my father, and he had the schus of kibbur aveim. Givalt leman yarichun yomecho. He's going to have arichas yomim. What about me? I don't know. This kotoyti mikol hachasod mikol haemes. Everything like so. He was trying to make himself afraid, in order that then from that position of fear, realizing that he has a formidable foe, realizing that he has grave opposition, realizing that he's in big trouble, he can now rise above that and truly have a true sense of bitochon b'Hashem, despite the danger that he finds himself in, or even because of the danger. If he didn't accentuate the danger, then he wouldn't really have the same level of bitochon. Because, again, on a certain level, I'm not really afraid. Whatever degree I'm afraid, that's the degree of bitochen. But I'm not that afraid. But I trust Hashem. I have a haftocha. No. He forced himself into a matzav of fear, overwhelming fear of Esav, in order to be able to have bitochen. That's what this Marikra, I think, learns from this.
So are we saying that on a human level, if he's afraid, that's a contradiction to be taught?
Well,
human, I'm saying, or vayira loy vayetzer, I'm saying he was afraid.
No.
But he had bitochen, then HaKadosh
Baruch Hu was saying. Wait a second. Bitochen is the removal of fear.
Uh-huh.
Bitochen means, we know that Chavos Halvavos defines, it's menuchas nefesh haboiteach. It's a certain tranquility that I'm not concerned. I don't have to worry. Esav, overrated. What's Esav? 400 soldiers. Big deal. What's he going to do to me? You know. So if a person has bitochen, he doesn't have fear. So therefore, fear would seem to be antithetical to bitochen, and it certainly should be antithetical to the taftocha. But the Teretz says he was afraid shem goram achet. Not that he couldn't have bitochen, but he couldn't have that high level of bitochen unless he first accentuated the danger of the moment, unless he was like the Briskarov's guy with the gun pulled behind him, the gun ready to shoot, then he really rises to true bitochen. He may have had a certain level before, and of course even the level before may be greater than any level that we can even imagine, but Yaakov Avinu wanted to reach higher and higher and higher. So he forced fear himself, if you will. He forced the fear in order to rise to
the top. Haftocha means promise?
Yeah.
Let's say Hashem did not come into this dream and give him this haftocha. Would Yaakov on his own would have said, speak it to Hashem, if you give me this, then I'll be with you?
Maybe, I don't know. Could be. And Yaakov maybe could have had bitochen on his own too, but there's infinite levels. There's infinite levels. And here, it's interesting. Here he took the fear to the extent to be afraid that he'll lose the haftocha. That's not stop a little fear. Oh, maybe he's not going to help me. I have a haftocha. So I have to be so overwhelmed by fear that I'm going to lose the haftocha in order to reach higher and higher levels of bitocha. Let me share with you.
Unless he thought he misunderstood.
What's that?
Unless he thought he misunderstood and he was reiterating.
I don't know about that. That's a different parsha. What he said there, whether he was reiterating. Either way, over here it clearly says he was afraid of the chet, and the Marie Kroh clearly says that he forced himself to be afraid in order to reach a higher level of bitochen. Let me take this concept a little bit further. I feel terrible. I didn't bring my glasses. Anyway, let me take this concept a little bit further. There's a Gemara at the end of the first parak in Brochus, and the Gemara says that when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, four times in every Shmoneh Esrei, we bow down, we say, Baruch Ben Daniz, we bow down, Ato, Hashem, we lift up our heads like this, right? We do that four times in Shmoneh Esrei, three times a day, four times on Shabbos, five times on Yom Kippur, That's what we do, okay? Now, the Gemara just says that the reason we do that is based on the Pasuk Hashem Zoykeif Kefufim. Hashem straightens up the bent, the people who are bent over, which is a bracha we make every day. The fact that we're able not just to sit up on the bed, we make a bracha Matir Asurim, but that we're able to stand up straight, we make a bracha Zoykeif Kefufim. So that's what the Gemara says. The reason that we bow down first and then we straighten up is because of the Pasuk Hashem Zoykeif Kefufim. The Rabbeinu Yoina is very concerned. What does that mean? He tries to explain it. So he says as follows. He says, bowing down is a sign of fear. When you bow down, you're standing in front of Hashem and go like this. It's an expression of reverence, expression of fear. That's what he says. He says it's an expression of fear. He says, we straighten up, and that is an expression of bitochin. From the fear, we bring ourselves to this situation, and the body language makes sense. You know, bending down is sort of a scared position. I'm a little bit afraid of you, so I bend down, I bow to you, and then I straighten myself up. It's an expression of my trust. I'm confident. And he says, that's what it means, Hashem Zoykeif Kefufim. And then he brings a posuk, and he says that bitochen emanates from fear. And he brings a posuk in Mishlei, b'yiras Hashem mivtach oiz. In yiras Hashem lies the strength, the strength of bitochen, or strong bitochen. Strong bitochen emanates from yiras Hashem. What is this all talking about? So it seems very posh. It seems that as we stand in front of Hashem, in front of the Shechina and Shemoneh Esrei, we want through the Shemoneh Esrei to achieve bitochen in Hashem. That the Goyin even says, and this I know we've mentioned, the Goyin says that the shirish of the word tefillah is from the posuk that we read in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov said to Yosef, Re'oi ponecho loy pilolti. I never allowed myself to think I'd ever see you again. And Rashi says, loy melohani libi lachshuv. My heart never allowed me to have this positive thought that I would ever see you again. So he says, tefillah, pilalti, that's the same shirish as tefillah, he says, is a lotion of a positive machshava. It's like a bitochon. It's an optimism. I never thought I'd ever see you again. I never trusted, I never had that optimism that I'd see you again. So the whole concept of tefillah is to inspire bitochon. Now, how do we start the tefillah? Both the first bracha and the end of the first bracha, then moedim, and the end of moedim, you know, atev shimcha, we started with fear. Because we wish to come to the higher level of bitochen. So we go like this. Baruch atah, you are the source of all brachas, but I'm bent down, I'm afraid. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid maybe I'm not deserving the things that I'm asking for. Shema goram hachet. Maybe I don't have the schusim to get what I want. Maybe I have a virus that won't allow me to get what I want. And I baruch ato. And then I say, Hashem zoykeif kefufim. When I say the Shem Hashem, I'm saying that Hashem straightens up the bent over. What does that mean? So I think, this is my own, you know, we call it, explanation is when you draw it directly from the text. Interpretation is when you take an idea and you explain the text with it, but it's really coming from the outside. It's not as reliable as explanation, so I admit that. But I think that the pshat is, yeah, I think that the pshat is like this, that Hashem is a hufufim. Hashem is the Adoin HaKoyol. The Mishnah Berurah says, when you say the Shem Hashem in Shemoneh Esrei, other than in Kriya Shema, in the first Pasuk Shema Yisrael, you're only supposed to think Adoin HaKoyol. He's the master of all. I'm his servant. He's my master. In Kriya Shema, you're supposed to think Hoyo Hoy Veviyeh. When you say the first, the Shem Hashem and the Shema Yisro, you're supposed to think that also. But otherwise, Adoin HaKol. So I say like this. I'm standing and I'm afraid. You're the Makor HaBrochas. Baruch Ato. You're the source of all brochas. I even call you by your first name. It's the familiar form. Ato, you, right? But I'm scared. Maybe I don't deserve what I want. Hashem is Zekev Kefufim. So I think like this. Hashem is the master of all. What does this master of all do? Master means he owns everyone. Now that already is something interesting. Because if you own something, you're going to take care of your property. So there's already an innuendo there of, you know, he's going to take care of us. He's our master. He owns us. But what does this owner do? This owner allows every person on the face of the earth to stand straight in the morning. gets up out of bed, sits up on the bed, and then he stands up. Hashem Zagif Kfufim. I ask you, are all these people worthy? Think about it. Think about the whole world. Think about all the, think about some people you know that you think may not be so worthy that they stand up in the morning. You know? The Teretz says, Hashem Zagif Kfufim. Hashem does chesed. He's the Adon HaKol. He owns everyone, and he takes care of all of us, even if we're not deserving. Ah, I just compensated for the fear that I had that interfered with the bitochen. But more than that, the fear brought me to a higher level of bitochen. Because I could have just said, start the Shemana and say, Hashem, you're the Zekif Kefuf, you're the Adon HaKol. But I'm not focused on the fear. If I'm not focused on the fear, then the trust is more limited. The trust is not maximized. Trust is maximized when it's built upon fear. I'm afraid, and now I turn to you. So first we go like this, we bow down, and we're thinking, Baruch Ato, I'm in front, I'm at the right address, I know I'm at the right place, I have this personal relationship, but maybe I'm not worthy, I'm afraid. Hashem, so you're the Adoin that takes care of everyone, and so you give Kefufim. That gives me confidence.
Well, and we bow down,
what? What's that?
2 seconds later, we bow down again.
Yeah, we do it again. Well, it needs constant reminders. Constant reminders. We're so quick to forget the bitochen. Bitochen is so slippery. At this minute, you have it in life too. I'm not worried about anything. 2 minutes later, all of a sudden, I'm full of anxiety. Then the anxiety goes away without the pills. The anxiety goes away. And 5 minutes later, again, I'm anxious. Well, I just thought I got over it. I thought it was that. No, it's not like a cold. That you get over it, you get over it. You know, the fever went down, finished. No, it's right back again. Then there's something else. Then I think of it again. I think of a different angle. I think, somebody else said something. So we have to constantly strengthen that. But that's what the Rabbeinu says, and he quotes the pasuk, "Biyiras Hashem," in the Yira of Hashem, "Mivtach Ois," lies the strength of bitochen. So we strengthen our bitochen in the Shemone Esrei through the expressing of the fear and then the standing upright. And through that process, when I say, I am afraid that maybe all of these requests that I'm going to make, I may not be worthy of. And then I say, oh, what are you talking about? He's the master of all. He owns us. He takes care of everything. And look around. Look at the track record. He's Zekif Kefufim. He's taking care of the whole wide world. There must be some other guys out there as undeserving as I am. And yet he takes care of them. He's Zekif Kefufim. So that is where we can have an opportunity to strengthen. Now, the truth of the matter is that, this is the way we should be thinking every time we say Shemone Esrei, every time we bow down, every time we straighten up. I think the shuls would probably have to elongate the each davening. Okay, so they may have to elongate the tefillahs a little bit longer. I don't know what we're going to have to do. But, Lamaisa, this seems to be the...
Can't hurt us.
Well, what?
Can't hurt us.
No, but you know, Rabbi, can I just say something? You said something beautiful. I mean it.
Thank you.
Your interpretation. I'd like to take it one notch from something you said 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
We brought up a few weeks ago, I think it was three, that when we go ahead and we say to Hashem that not just we said, at the end of the Rosh Hashanah Shemone Esrei. Well, I'm sorry.
By the shofar. Im kavodim, im kibonim, im kavodim?
No, the one that says that not only have we sinned, but our fathers sinned.
Avol anachnu, avol anachnu, avol seinu chotim. Right? Yeah.
So therefore, you brought up over there a very interesting point. You said that when we say that, it's not that we're being an Azus Panim. We're not being Mukhusuf. It sounds that way. What we're saying is that just like the Ovos have done things in their lives and you're able to overlook it, so too we should have that same source. Maybe, just maybe.
Okay.
Along the lines that you're saying, why do I bow down right at the beginning? Baruch Atah Hashem? Because we're going to that concept of Kei Avram, Kei Yitzhak, Kei Yaakov. Who am I to put myself in their shoes? So I humble myself. I humble. I have the petachon, like you say, to have the strength to stand erect and be able to invoke the names of Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, to be able to protect us. In other words, my schosim alone, like Yaakov said, not going to cut it.
Very good.
But maybe the schosim of Avraham Yitzchak, so I have to stand erect. Why do I go back by the end?
Yeah.
Because we spell it out, mugging Avraham. The shield, they are shielding us. In other words, again, since I am using the concept that I am invoking these great people, and who am I? So I humble myself, I stand erect, and then I have to bow again because I realize that I on myself cannot do it. Very I need the shield and the help of Avraham.
Very nice, very nice. I think, I hear what you're saying, it's very nice. But also, there's no question that even without that, after we strengthen this bitochon, as Rabbeinu Yonah says, we do say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, v'Avraham Elokei Yitzchak v'Yaakov. So we are invoking, besides the bitochon that we may have gotten, we're invoking even special schusim. There's no question about it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying, and there's no question about it. That's why we go ahead and we do it by Modin and Baruch Hu Adonai.
Okay, that I can hear. Anyway, let me just... I just want to share with you one other thing. A little bit of a different direction, but it's really the same, it's a similar concept. But I think this is a chiddush, and I wish this chiddush would get out to the world. I really mean it. So, and that's as follows. The Rambam in Perek Sheni of Yesodei HaTorah, okay? Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis. Hokel hanechpod v'hanoira hazeh mitzvah le'ahavoi u'le'yira oisoi. This great and honored and feared God, it's a mitzvah to love Him and to fear Him. Shenemar v'ahavtas Hashem l'kecho, love Hashem. V'nemar es Hashem l'kecho tiro, fear Hashem. Now the Rambam explains how do we go about this, the love and the fear and what it is. Listen to this. What's the way, what's the approach to get to his love and his fear? When a person focuses on the creation of Hashem, those beautiful creations, the wondrous creations and the great creations that He created, and to notice and to see in them His chochmo she'ein lo erech v'loy keitz, endless wisdom that Hashem demonstrates in all of the greatness of His creation. Miyad hu oyev, immediately you come to love Him because you see His greatness. You see, look at this creation, He waved. And agav, I assume He means also, He did it not for Himself, He did it all for us. Olam chesed yibonet. So look at this. Miyad hu oyev u mishabeach u mefoyer u mis'ave taivo gedoylo leides Hashem agol. He immediately loves Him. He starts with a love because he sees such greatness, and he praises Him, and he exalts Him, and he craves, he desires to know Him even more because he's so awed by His greatness. My nefesh thirsts for Hashem l'keil choy. And when he thinks about these things, he's taken aback. He's like he jumps back, and he's full of fear, and he knows shehu ber yoktano shfeilo afeilo. He's a small, the slightest little creature. Oimedes bedas kalo mo'uto lifnei tomim deus, standing with the slightest little minuscule knowledge, wisdom, in front of the one of complete and total knowledge, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'kamei she'omar David said, ki era shomecho, ma'asei etzbo yisecho, mo'enosh kisis kareno. When I see your heavens and all the works of your creation, who is man that you should even mention him? Man is nothing. He's a little speck of dust in all of these, this infinite creation. So, ulefi hadvorim ha'elu, ani mevayer klolim gedoylim, and through these klolim, through these things, I explain many klolim, many principles about Hashem. Kedei sheyiu Pesach, that they should be an opening lemeivin, to a wise person, lehoives Hashem, to love Hashem, kemei sheomru chachomim beinyan ha'avo, shemitoich kach atomakir esmi sheomar v'hoi ha'olam. Through this, you're going to come to recognize Hashem. In other words, when you're misbeinin in the Bria, you see the Gadlus Hashem, you'll come to recognize Hashem and you'll come to love Him even more and more. What I see over here is a very interesting progression. He says there's a mitzvah of Ahava and Yira. And he says it starts with Ahava. You look at the world and you immediately see everything Hashem did, you start to love Him. And then you start to look more and more to get to know Him. You want Him more and more. And you become overwhelmed. We're not talking about fear of punishment here, but Yiras Aroimimus, like just reverence, just awe at the godless of the Bria. And then he says, he uses this, listen to this again, Ulafi Hadvarim Ha'elu, this is the Avod which brought us even to a greater level of Yiras Aroimimus. Ani Mevayr Klolim Gedolim Ma'aser Reino Elom. Today, why am I explaining all these things about the greatness of Hashem? Sheyiyu Pesach Lemevin Lehoives Hashem. It should be an opening to truly love Hashem. Kmo she'omru mitoch kach etomati. If you study Hashem, you know Hashem, you get to recognize Him, you recognize Him, and then you come to love Him. It sounds as if the system works as follows. Supposed to love and fear Hashem. What are you supposed to do? Look at the Bria. See the niflois habayri and start to feel that love. And that love expands and you realize, you see more and more and more. And it brings you to such an overawed sense of the greatness of this universe and the greatness of the Creator that you're full with this fear, this awe, this reverence of Reimimus. And he says, I use these things to do what? To bring us to Avo. The goal is Avo. Not only is the goal Avo, like Rashi says, and I think we've mentioned this too, Rashi says, when it says, V'haftus Hashem Elokecho, so Rashi says, Eino doime, there's no comparison to one who serves out of fear or one who serves out of love. He says, because one who serves his master out of fear, if the master gets a little too overwhelming, takes a walk, he runs away, he'll escape. Not so if it's out of love. So, but not only that, but even in the highest levels of Avas Hashem, which brings to Yiras Haroimamus, Yiraimus means I walk around, I see, I'm awed, I'm overwhelmed, it's not shaykh, I can't even think of anything else. Hashem is constantly on my mind, and I see the godness of the world, I'm paralyzed almost by its awe, its awesomeness. But all that, the Rambam says, is to bring us to love Hashem. To bring us to love Hashem even more.
The awe or the fear?
No, the awe and the fear. No, it's not talking about fear of punishment here. He's talking about the reverence for the godless of the Bria. So I'm just saying, but this awe, even that, which would seem to be the highest level, is all the Rambam says to bring us to Ava. The ultimate goal is Avas Hashem. The ultimate goal is to have this sense of recognizing Hashem, seeing who He is, and you come to recognize Him, and you come to love Him, and that's the klal of everything. So those two mitzvahs of love Hashem and fearing Hashem are all to bring to a higher level of love of Hashem. I think this is very significant because in our society today, there seems to be a great emphasis on the fear. There seems to be even those that don't look at it as fear of punishment, but just this awe and reverence and the magnificence and this, that's all true. It's all great. It's all important. It's all real. It's all a mitzvah. But we should remember the tachlis of everything is loving Hashem. And I believe that loving Hashem and bitochen in Hashem are very, very close. Because if I love Hashem, I recognize what love is. The Sipurnu says it's the rejoicing. I rejoice in the qualities of someone. That means I love him. It's a rejoicing. Love is a rejoicing in quality. When I recognize Hashem's qualities, his chesed, his rachamim, his patience, all of his midas, then that's the greatest ability that I have to come to trusting him. Because if he's such a Baal Chesed, such a Baal Rachamim, and such a Baal Erech HaPayim, and he's Noitze Chesed La'alofim, and he's Noitze Yom, constantly forgiving and overlooking sin and everything else, and paying 2,000 generations and so forth and so on, all the Midas of the Yud Gimel Midas, then of course, how could I not put my trust in him? So it really, all of this leads to the same place. And I think that we've mentioned many times that Goyin says that the ikar of the giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael was in order to develop Bitochem Hashem. So I would say, if that's the case, that this Avo, which is the goal of the Avo and the Yira, those psukim, Hafz Hashem El Kecha, Es Hashem El Kecha Tira, is supposed to bring us to Avo, and Avo will bring us to that ultimate goal, which is the tachlis of everything, to connect with the Rabbeinu Shalom in the ultimate, to the extent my loving relationship with you is such that I can rely on you, I can trust you for anything. That's really the ultimate test of love. The ultimate test of love, the ultimate test of any love relationship is trust, because without trust, there's nothing there. And that's really the goal of everything.